Hallelujah. For those of you that have not been with us, we've been going through a series on the book of Galatians. And in short, attempting by the Spirit of God to loosen people up a little bit more from the constraints of works in exchange for the goodness of God. And that is not, that sounds like a very simple term, but the goodness of God is massively broad. You know, we just throw those little phrases out there, but when we speak of the goodness of God, when we look at it in the light of God's Word, and we know that that has been delivered to us already through the work of Jesus, the more we know what that means, the more we're set free to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. How many desire to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in a greater way than ever before? And so, you know, that's what I said, kind of what I was referencing, I guess, for lack of a better term, when I talked about I hate New Year's resolutions, because what we do is we set up a little legalistic rule for ourselves. This year I'm going to less, and I'm going to more, and I'm going to be, and I'm, and we don't even, I mean, we want to be better, but when we say those things, we already know when we're saying them, we're not going to do it. I mean, we're just kind of stating our intentions and thinking that intentions are good enough. How many know that there's people in politics that speak much of intentions, and they're elected on intentions, and they have great, huge, flowery, powerful speeches about intentions. But I mean, intentions don't do a thing for anybody. It's the one that has carried through. You know, a lot of believers pick on politicians, but a lot of believers that way. We speak a lot of our intentions, but how many know the grace of God? Paul said something very interesting to the Corinthians. He said, you know, he said, there's a lot of guys out there doing a lot of stuff. But he said, I'm thankful that because of the grace of God, Paul says something very audacious. Almost sounds braggadocious, but if you know him, he wasn't bragging at all. He said, I, Paul the apostle, the least of these. So we understand who he was. Paul said, I thank God that because of his grace in me, I labored more than them all. That's pretty amazing. I'm very glad this morning for the grace of God. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. Now, as I said a little bit ago, we are in a series on Galatians. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there today. We will pick up. There's some things that are really strong in my heart that I would love to get across, because what we want to do is move into the, what was the goal of Galatians? It's interesting to me that a similar scenario is seen in the announcing of Jesus for hundreds of years and the Jewish nation looking forward to their Messiah, their Redeemer, the one who would come, who would be the King of Kings, who would be the conqueror of death, all of these things. In their mind, they wanted a warrior king who would come. We see little pictures of this. Their desire to have a king, Saul, versus just walking in a relationship as God had intended, speaking directly to them through the prophets, they insisted on a king. And God finally said, okay, if this is what you want, I'm going to let you have him, but this is not my best way. We saw the mess that Saul makes. Later, there is one who comes into play called David. David, now anointed of God, is the opposite of what Israel sought. He doesn't seem like a warrior. He's a young boy. We see the picture of him killing Goliath. They tried to put him in an armor that didn't fit. It was too big for him. It was uncomfortable. They tried to make their system work on a young man who simply believed that his God was greater than the enemy. Do you remember the story? And David goes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would dare come against the armies of God? While the armies of God trembled in fear of a single giant. David goes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you here today? And he says, in the name of the Lord, you're going to die. And we see what takes place. A guy who never fit the aspect of warrior like Saul. So many times we have people trying to put things on us that don't belong. Amen. Are you here today? And putting on what men believe should be. The nation of Israel, they were waiting for their Messiah to come to deliver them, to smash the Roman Empire, to be a conqueror king, to dash their enemies asunder. I mean, this is what they were looking for. And Jesus comes, not only does he not perform what they thought he should, or do, or fulfill what they thought he should fulfill, but he comes and he gives his life. Lays down his life. John's announcement of who he was, saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His conquest was in an unseen realm that will be seen, that will come to real tangible fruition for all of us. But in that time, his conquest was over death, hell, and the grave. His conquest was spiritual, delivering men from sin, delivering men from the rule of Satan. This is why Colossians 2:15 can declare over us today, you are complete. For those of us who have come to Jesus, he declares over us today, Colossians 2:15, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. There is power in the name of Jesus. How many are glad today for the name of Jesus? Would you say it out loud today? Jesus. You know, that's not a curse word. No. That is a name above every name that has been given us. Philippians 2 says that he was given a name that is above every name that is named in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, and that at that name, every knee, at some point, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God, the Father of all. How many are glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. Amen. They wanted a worldly conqueror, but Jesus didn't deal with the symptom. He dealt with the root of evil, the root of devastation, the root of disease, the root of sin, and offers today the free gift of salvation to everyone that believes. How many are glad for Jesus? Likewise, in the book of Galatians, we see Paul is very frustrated, if not angry, and is rising to the challenge of confronting those who would come in and take away, once again, the joy of our salvation, and to take away the motivator of the true power of God. He states in that little book of Galatians, we'll look at this in weeks to come, that faith works by love. There were many then who sought to bring in a system and bring in a form of religion and a form of, you know, different levels of authority and hierarchy. And the world, even in a religious system, did that. And we see some of the most bloody wars of history happen over religion. I hate religion. More blood has been shed in the name of religion than just about any other thing. That was never God's intention. Religion stinks. There is something that James calls pure religion that is undefiled. And he said it looks like this. Taking care of, let the body of Christ, through this new life that we have, make sure that we take care of widows and orphans. In other words, your life isn't all about you. If you want religion, here's religion that's pure and undefiled. Think about those that are hurting and needy. But religion in general, I can't stand it. Are you here today? With all its forms of legalism. And Paul is upset. It's funny because we hear this great argument, as we've been talking about this for weeks, where it seems that he's building towards this great secret, this great new revelation, putting things back where they belong, correcting those who come in who want to impose the law once again on the church. We think he's getting ready for this deep revelation, but as you'll find out, he says, listen, here is what the gospel is all about. He explains the simplicity of the gospel, salvation that is absolutely not anything to do with works. Absolutely at all. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at how he goes and he literally compares Sarah and Hagar. But he brings it all back to this. He says, stand fast in the liberty that you have found in Christ Jesus. And don't use it for a cloak of maliciousness. And then he tells you where he's going. It's where all of the New Testament goes. He goes, but serve one another in love. If you're disappointed at that's it. We're back to the loving thing. Yes. In this, we find the secrets of walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. In this, we find that you can't give what you haven't received. The greater knowledge you have of the love of God, the greater capacity you have to love. I was talking to some very dear, precious people, not from here, not from this area, visiting us from another state who we knew years ago in ministry. They're laboring under the strain of legalism in their church and going a whole different direction and all up, you know, building programs and all the stuff. And they're laboring under this and they're struggling and they're frustrated. They said, we've been doing this for years. We've got numbers, but where is the power? Where is the love? It's just like everything. It's like a big business. And man, you got to be so careful that you don't discourage people that are in situations like that. But as we were talking and sharing about these things, I said, listen, much of what they do sincerely. Much of what they do because they believe that's what God requires of them. And they believe that if they can help you live up to certain requirements, that God will love you more, just like they're straining to do things so that God will bless them more and anoint them more and be more for them. And I said, here's the trick. Until we get a real glimpse of who he is, we will always treat others. Listen, if you don't get anything else this morning, get this. We will always treat others the way we perceive that God treats us. We will always be and feel towards others the way that we believe that God feels towards us. And when many of us are victims of a lot of teaching that has tried to put Saul's armor all over the anointing of God. It's tried to force people into rigid confines that really don't have anything to do with anything. Is there a place for building an organization? You bet. I would love as a pastor this coming year. I don't want to just be a little storefront on 89. I believe that we have a mandate and a call of God to make a difference in our community. And I've wrestled because every time you begin to build or organize anything, people who have been through things through the years feel constraint. And we preach a freedom of grace, and we'll never let up on that. But I realize, though, that for us to do greater things, Jesus said, greater things shall you do in my name, because I go to the Father. For us to do greater things, there must be additional organization, but with a different heart. Wouldn't it be great to recognize those who serve as deacons? Wouldn't it be great to recognize who already serve as elders? Wouldn't it be great to develop? But the thing is if we go back to an old system, we're going to get ourselves in a jam. But how many know organization in love can begin to cause a fire to burn that can't be ignored on the street. You don't know how many people I've met, and some of you are here, and some of you know them, who drove by this church for years, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to go in there. You need to go in there. This place ought to be 3, 4, 5 times fuller than it is. But as we begin to trust the process, no longer make excuses for why the past still dictates our future, but we begin to see His love for us. Let me tell you something. The more you find out about His love for you, the more you will begin to reflect that to others. That doesn't mean we become weak. How many know that we can be strong in the love of God? How many know that we must, but always gentle in our strength? Amen. How many know that He is kind? The song up here mentioned, you don't hear that in church. We don't even think of God as kind. But do you know that Isaiah 54 said that He would establish a covenant of kindness? He said, I will never again, a day is coming. He was speaking of the day that we just sung about, Noel. The word, its root term meaning to be born. It was what the angels were heralding in Luke 2 when they begin to sing, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They begin to sing glory to God in the highest. This all encompasses the word Noel. He is here. Aren't you glad He's here? But man, the constraints of religion just have us locked up. Not us. I'm talking about another church. We're free. Okay. Let me go after Jesus. Oh, man. As we move forward, though, and the desire to make a difference, how many know it's as we individually begin to see who He is that we begin, therefore, in freedom, begin to be that towards others? How many are glad for Jesus today? I want to read to you out of the book of John. I love it. I haven't read this in quite some time. Look at the Gospel of John. Excuse me. The Gospel of John. And I'm just going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Can you say wow? Can you say it backwards? All right. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. What I love about the life of God is that it is brand new every day. Millisecond. I mean, if you can just get it down to the smallest possible time, the way it functioned. Brand spanking new. The Bible speaks of the mercy and the steadfast love of the Lord being new every morning, that He is rich in mercy. That's why I hate the idea of, well, a new year, we're going to turn over a new leaf. You're not going to do anything in your own strength. But if today we understand that right now, newness of life is alive on the inside of me through the rebirth of the human spirit by faith in Jesus. You know how you come into Jesus? You don't do a stinking thing. You receive a free gift. You confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that He is the Son of God, that He was raised from the dead for you. And Paul says, when that revelation comes in to the degree that it just comes out of your mouth like a volcano, fire producing an outward sign, you are the Christ. How many remember that day? Your life was changed. There are a lot of people that mouth words and they adhere to a system, but it's not the same as having the new birth, a new heart, because a revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, the book of Galatians that we're going through, Paul says that all of this, the wisdom of God that I'm sharing with you about how to be victorious in life. How many know God wants you to be victorious in life? What about the rest of you? How many know God wants you to be victorious in life? Some of you are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. I said, how many know He wants you to be victorious in life? How many times do I need to repeat Romans 5:17? Somebody needs to write this down. If you have no clue after all this time what I'm talking about, you need to write this down and memorize it. For it says, my paraphrase, so you don't have to be exact. I can, but I want you to hear what He's saying. He says that death entered the world by one. He's speaking of the first Adam. But He said, for those who receive. Can you say receive?
Receive.
Can you say it three times?
Receive.
Say it out loud.
Receive.
Receive. Not do. Receive. The abundance of grace. You hear a lot right now about hyper grace. And attacking a so-called grace movement. And the guys that are saying this, they mean well, they're good men, they love the Lord, they're preaching the gospel, but when they attack something that they don't understand, because if they would investigate their own Bible and the original Greek, it literally says there, hyper grace. A tidal wave for those who receive hyper grace. Woo! Are you glad this morning? And the gift of righteousness. The gift. Not righteous because you do, but righteous because you believe. Says that these will reign in life. That means that the result of receiving is somebody who is less and less intimidated by life, by the devil, by the world, by the enemies of God. And it doesn't mean we get an angry look on our face and go out with anti-abortion signs and make fools of ourselves, ranting and raving, turn or burn. What it means is the joy of the Lord in you is evident, and strength that is born of love. People will look at your life. I'm not saying that those people are bad, but how many know we misrepresent ourselves so many times in our zeal? When the Bible says the world will know us, the world will know that what we have is genuine because we love one another. Faith that works by love. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign. That's a term, a kingly term. Speaking of one who stands and dictates with scepter in hand, it shall be. This is this way. How many know we can stand against the enemy? You bet your boots. James 4:7 says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. I don't care how young you are in the Lord or how old you are. It works if you'll put it to work. Can you say amen? Amen. Is it all right? Okay, let me get back here to where we were at. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. In Him was life. How many are glad for life today? Oh, man. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness, to bear the witness of the light, that all men through him, the light, capital L, would believe, might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, speaking of the Jewish people. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. How many know that's not the end of the story? How he loves the nation of Israel. He loves everybody, period. All right? But as many, listen to what the Word of God says to us this morning. But as many as received him. How many How many in here have received Him? Look at the next words. To them gave He power. You look at the original of that. This word is from the word dunamis in the Greek. This is dynamite style power on the inside of every believer. That's why Ephesians 3:20, I never get tired of reminding myself and reminding you of what the Word says. My brain doesn't always get around it, but my spirit leaps when I say it because it is a truth that transforms my life and yours and those around you. Ephesians 3:20, which declares, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. Do you know that to this day, when I'm visiting another church and preaching, I will misquote that, and 100% of the time, people never catch it. I say, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in God. And they go, amen, hallelujah. They never even catch it because we've been taught, I'm nothing, but God is everything. You're nothing without Him, but in Him and He in you. Greater, John says in his epistles in the back of this book, is He that is in you than he that is in the world. To as many as received Him in this new year, let love be the motivator of a new kind of faith. I wanted to read an article and I'm running out of time. We doing all right? Okay, let me finish this up and then I'm going to skip some stuff I was going to read. I want to read to you an article / message. From a good old Baptist. Say, God bless the Baptist. I did a funeral together with Pastor Wayne. Grace Baptist down here on the entrance of Outer Loop. What a man of God. And what a man of love. You can call him spirit-filled, not spirit. You can call him whatever you want. That man knows and has the Spirit of God. My brother, what a precious guy. Pray for that church and all of them for that matter, but pray for that man and his family. What a great work they're doing for God. They may not agree with us in reference to some of the peripheral things that have to do with Pentecost and other stuff. But they know, trust in, and believe in this great God that we serve together in this great body called the body of Christ. How many are glad for that today? Amen. Amen. And so at any rate, did a funeral with him. And the anointing of God was so, so present. I think so many of them, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. They just don't know it. I remember James Robinson. He was like this with tongues. But that man has what he describes as a fire baptism that changed his life. And the power of God came in him. He was delivered from some garbage as a preacher. And his whole ministry has been transformed. I don't know where he stands on tongues, but I know that's one baptized in the Holy Ghost, brother of God. Now what we don't know, and this isn't the message for today, so relax. But if you got the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry, whether you like it or not, or agree with it or not, you got the tongues in there. You just can turn them loose whenever you get the information. But the first witness of the Holy Ghost in us is boldness to proclaim. How many are glad for Jesus? How many know Jesus gave the Holy Ghost? We're going to talk about that more. So get ready. He gave the Holy Ghost. He said, you'll be endued with power. It's the nitrous of the Spirit-filled walk. Are you here today? So there may be some differences there with our Baptist brothers, but I'll tell you what, when it comes to this deal of It amazes me what God is doing through the movement of grace. In this article, he literally quotes Steve McVeigh, who is the author of the book that many of you have been reading called 52 Lies Heard in Church. 52? 52 Lies Heard in Church Every Sunday. You talking about an awesome book and a challenge to religion. How many are glad to be free from religion and getting freer? Do you ever turn around and say, man, where in the world? I didn't even know that was on me. You ever done that, Sherry? I didn't know that was still on me. Well, thank you, Lord, for showing that to me. I'm going to step away from that thing. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And some of you in here are like, what in the world is he talking about? I don't know either, so we'll just move along. Okay. 16. When the fullness... So let me back up. 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can you say power?
Power.
Power. To become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Can you say amen? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that come after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received grace. Are you here today? Grace for grace. And for the law. Listen, some of you that are new, I want you to underline this, circle this. If you don't write in your own Bible, then borrow your neighbor's Bible and write in theirs. But write somewhere. Write this down. John 1:17 clearly says, for the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Christ Jesus. Paul in Galatians is saying, listen, don't bring back the law. It was completed, fulfilled by Jesus in our place. Now there is a new, Hebrews said, a new and living way. You can get around somebody who's truly come into a relationship with Jesus. There's something alive about them. I mean, how many times has it happened? Yesterday, I was in the little Spanish store down here on Perkinsville Road. And I've been in there a couple of times. I love because they got the... How many know what cecina is? A bunch of gringos. If you don't know what cecina is, man, whoo, it's a type of real thin beef. It's already salted and oiled. You just put it on a hot plate a couple of times and put that inside a tortilla with some queso blanco, a little green sauce. You hungry yet? Whew. It's amazing. That's the stuff I grew up with. Talking about comfort food, that's my comfort food. Anyway, I've been in there a few times, and I could tell the atmosphere has changed. I got to looking around. They weren't selling the same stuff. The pictures on the wall had changed. I could feel something was different. And I stood around for a little bit and I got my cheese and I got my pound of cecina and some avocados that were out of this world and a few other things. And I'm standing there kind of waiting, and started a conversation over the counter. And after a while, I'm picking up on something. There's something going on here. And I start listening to the music playing in the background. It sounded kind of like rock music. I started hearing it's Spanish praise and worship. I said, uh-huh. I looked up on the wall and I said, how long have you owned this place? I didn't realize you changed management ownership. She said, yes, we bought it. And she named the time. She said, different place. And she said, did you notice a difference? I said, yeah, I noticed a difference in the atmosphere. She goes, yes. And she didn't know where I was coming from. She began to talk about what that was. And I mean, what they were trying to do and serving others and serving people. And I know what you are. I smell a sweet smelling savor of a worshiper. In him is the light and life of men. I met Lucy and Maria. looked up on the wall as I'm checking out. And I said, I know what's the matter with you guys. And they turned around, you know, what's the matter? I know what's the matter with you guys. For up over top of the register, firmly on the wall was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She looked and she said, yes. I said, are you a believer? She said, sí, hermano, because we were talking in Spanish. They were blown away by my Spanish. You have no accent. Where are you from? I said, yes, I'm a believer. She goes, oh, gloria a Dios, hallelujah. And the word, it just began to gush. You can smell somebody who's come into a living relationship with Jesus. You know what I mean by smell. Now, there's a few Christians that smell, but that's because they need to learn how to take a bath. I'm talking about, you know, it doesn't hurt a believer to use a little underarm deodorant and take a bath once in a while. Amen. So some of you are like, serious? Who do you know? Like, I got some going. I'm not sure what that's about. So at any rate, talk to them. Talk to them in love. Anyway, so back to isn't it awesome? So maybe it's time, instead of talking about that guy that always stinks, why don't you go to him and buy him a bar? Anyway, we got to stop. Okay, so anyway. Woo! How many are glad for Jesus? New life. It's a new year. But in the time of God, it's just the continuation of every stinking millisecond is brand new in Him. Are you living and walking in it? You can. How many are glad for Jesus? I got to read one more verse, and then maybe if I have time, and if you'll let me. I told Jackie, I'm going to read this article today, and I'm just going to read right through it and explain a few points, and we're going to turn everybody loose at 11:30. You know what I did? You know what I did? I did what Peter did. You know what? Today, I will do this. I don't care what God says, I will do this. And I guaranteed my defeat. So would you revel in my defeat with me as we move along? Okay, so here we go. Look at now John's epistle, 1 John, way in the back. 1 John. Isn't this great stuff? The love of God. Look at this. I'm not going to really draw any conclusions today. I'm just throwing some good news out there. And in weeks to come back. Amen. We're a little crazy around here, but it's fun to watch if nothing else. Okay, 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess, that means speak with your mouth. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you're in here, young person, and you've been waiting for the moment when you can finally get your act together. Because you don't want to be a hypocrite. But you're waiting to give your life to God because you've seen so many hypocrites. And you're not going to do it until you can get your act together and get some things squared away in your life so you feel like you now deserve to step into this place to be able to receive from God. It just doesn't work like that. Young mother, young single person, older single, whoever you are, He loves you right now. He's not embarrassed by you. He's not embarrassed by your sin. He's not embarrassed by your failure. We all have that. Romans tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He absolutely loves you right where you are at. Religion says do this, 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 this. Cross all your T's, dot your I's, and when you're ready, God will be ready. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God is ready right now, right where you are at, just the way you are. But Pastor, if you knew, I do this and I do that, and I'm probably going to leave here, and I'm going to do so? So stinking what? There are people that have been in the church for years. They manage their outward appearance, but they got issues that can't be seen that are every bit as bad as what you think you're doing that's so bad. We all need Him, every one of us, every day. It is by His grace, undeserved favor, that we live our lives for Him. And when you get over you and simply trust His love, He'll help you walk free of that garbage. You don't fix yourself up to walk in power. You receive power and let the power do a work through you. That's how it works. Man, did your hubby do a fantastic job last week in preaching the gospel. I don't think he understands what he did. Chad Nanke. Powerful stuff. How many love Jesus? And there's a bunch of you in here that have got calling and anointing all over you and that same ability. And God wants to do something. That's why we got to get over ourselves and just move out in love. Faith that works by love. You think Galatians is all about, legalism and you got to do wait and see. Great power in this book. The release of love. I'm very glad for Jesus. Okay. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how hard it is. Can you confess that He's the Son of God? Religion makes it hard. The Word of God makes it easy. For Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are you ready to shout this morning? As he is, so are we in this world. Okay, you heard me say it. Woo! That's great, Brother Lee. How about you saying it this morning? Stand to your feet this morning. I mean, open up your mouth. Let the Word of Christ, Colossians says, dwell in you richly. Come on, I want to hear you say it this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ho, 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 ho. Huh? I lost my verse. I don't know what I'm ready for. Because as he is, shout it out. Because as he is, so are we in this world. But you lost your temper this week. She made you mad. And before you know it, you said things that you know aren't who you are anymore. And so I accuse you. You are before God. You are less than, can't live up to, a failure. You may as well go back to the beginning and start over. You've always been a loser. You'll always be a loser. Do you hear the words of the accuser? She knows me better than this.
I do know.
I'm talking to everybody in here. It's when this little gal, you wouldn't believe what Ardala has been through. To see her in here is nothing short of a miracle. You know what you'd say when the devil says this crap to you? You can tell him, say, you know what? You're a liar and the truth is not in you. And he says, how can you say that? And here's what you say. Because as he is, so am I in this world. You say, why? Let me tell you why. Because as he is, I don't know how. But truth in me defies your lie. For because as he is, so am I before God. And before you, by the way, you lion, father of lies, accuser of the brethren, get out of here. Some of you need to stand up. Quit this stupid, funky religion that says everything happens for a reason. So if it happened, it must be God. No, 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 no. You have the wisdom of God in you. You know in your gut, this can't possibly be God. I need to stand up and do some talking. When he comes to you like that, what do you tell him when he says, why do you think you have the right to talk to me like this? You respond. Oh man, now that was a little weak. So when he comes, your answer is?
Because he is.
Some of you are trying so hard to believe that. You're believing it like 30%, some 60%. It's okay. There was a blind man who said, yeah, Lord, I'm better. But I see men as trees. What did he say, Darlene? He just prayed over him again. You think God failed? Huh? There was a belief. There's another one that said, help my unbelief. He's with you. Religion has said, you got to get this faith thing down, right? Or you receive nothing. And they take James 1 out of context. We'll deal with that another day. James 1 is not saying, you have perfect faith, or you're like a man that wavers, and you're not going to receive anything. That's not what he's talking about at all. Another subject for another time. Romans 8 says that in our weakness, come on, how many in here would confess with me that we have times of struggle and weakness? And in our weakness, Romans 8 says, he takes together with us even tighter and prays for us. Amen. He's not embarrassed. He's not leaving the house because you blew it. He loves you. Because as he is, so are we. Come on. Somebody needs to say that out loud. From your toes, out of the deep of who you are, a response to the liar who's beat you down and told you your value is not that much. You need this, that, her, him. It's a lie. Your value is complete right now. And anything else, only it doesn't really add anything. It can complement something that is already perfect in him. Let me be glad for Jesus. Amen. Three of you are glad for Jesus. How about the rest of you today? Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm not going to read this article today because I'm out of time. We'll read it next week. Huh? It's 25 till. I don't think I'll have time. It's long. It's pretty long. I will, but not this week. I will. Do we have time? Huh? Let me finish this, and we'll do that next week. Okay, you'll just have to come back. Here in verse 17 is our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear. Do you realize how many people are fearful? Do you realize that a believer who lives in fear is not yet made perfect in love? Not made perfect. The Bible says spiritually, you're complete. But it's talking about an understanding of His love for you. For John declares here in a few seconds, perfect love. How many know that you and I are incapable of perfect love? Receiving perfect love can cause our love to become perfected. And I know this sounds like we're just, but hold on, let's just look at it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Do you know the more of a revelation you get of this is what Paul was so fired up about in Galatians. Love, let me back up, faith that moves mountains works by love. We were talking with this same couple this last week, and this young woman began to remind us of how she received the Lord in our church many years ago. It's a gal who was caught up in Rastafarianism. She basically said, if I don't find it here, I'm done looking. I'm taking myself out. I remember the day that she received Jesus. We knew something huge was going to happen. Our church was packed full of young people. It was a building this size, maybe a little bigger. I don't remember. Wall to wall, great revival, a move of God. Music was going. You could feel the anointing of God. And we had altar calls that would just fill up the front. And I remember that day when we gave the altar call, one person came forward. And it was this girl. She was reminding us again, and I remember the first time she came, she was high on a kite, reeked of weed. Still, at this time, came up. And as we prayed and led her through prayer, it was like nothing was clicking. You can say things, but if you don't have heart belief, you're just saying stuff. I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He was raised from the dead. I mentally consent to a truth that I know is, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't make a heart new. But when we believe in a heart and confess with our mouth by revelation of God, something happens on the inside. It's called the new birth. And I remember we prayed. It was just like something wasn't clicking. Afterwards, she approached me and she said, would you pray for me? I need special prayer for my mother and a few things, whatever. And this girl was really, really different, really strange. And I remember going and getting my wife. And I need my wife with me for this. And we're going to go into a side room. We took her to a side room. And we began to pray for the few things that she said. And after a little bit of praying, she began to shake and tremble and cry. We all sat in tears just a couple of days ago, visiting with her. My wife hadn't seen her in 15 years. I hadn't seen her in almost that many years. We sat there listening to the testimony that I've shared many hundreds of times in sermons. As we heard once again, she said, I saw Him coming to me. And I would never forget, she said, in His eyes. I've told that story many times, but we were hearing it with all over again. She goes, this one that everything in me had been repulsed by, everything in me had resisted, the demons and the voices in my life that were telling me I was worthless and I was hopeless and had no life and no reason to live and there was no reason to live any further. All of these voices that were crying, they would just cause me to just rise again. She said, I could go to church, I could clap, I could sing. She said, I thought it was cool. We visited all kinds of, higher than a kite, visited ours higher as a kite. The only difference was the Spirit of God was there and the anointing that makes a difference. It's their second time back. Remember, as we were praying, Jackie and I, we thought we were praying for all of a sudden she began to shake and she began to say, I see Him. I see Him. I see. She said, because of the stuff that I had been through with men, God knew that I needed a revelation of a different kind of man in Jesus. I remember her saying, His eyes, His eyes, oh, his eyes. And she began to weep and tremble and confess him as the Lord of her life. He is the light and life of men. All of our doing and running and working and stuff that we do falls short when it comes to this revelation. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. She said that day, life came into her and fear moved away. She's been through some tough stuff, and I don't have time to go into all that. But she said, you know, that same Jesus, I still see him. He still speaks to me. He still leads me. He takes me through the tough times and over. She said, his grace has been sufficient. I'm here glad for Jesus today. Listen, you don't have to do a stinking thing, but open your heart. You say, that's not very church-like language. I'm stinking glad. Amen. The love of God. A revelation of the love of God cast out all fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here is the key, and I wished I had more time, but I'm going to stop right here. We love him. How many can lift your hands with me this morning in appreciation and honor and awe? Lord, give us a fresh revelation of who you are. Our life has become so caught up with all the things we must do to qualify, and we've missed out. I wish I had time to read that article because it addresses it. We'll do that soon. And how it fits in a church organization, and how we can serve out of newness of love. Live. But this morning, Father, thank you for sending love to live and dwell among us. Jesus, thank you. You didn't just talk about it, you gave. And today we thank you for perfect love that cast out fear. And we love you today. How many love him today? How many have been the brunt? I've been one of those preachers that did it. I would say, you know what's the matter with you? You know why you're struggling? Oh, I did it with all the compassion and grace I could muster, with a tear in my voice and a tear in my eye. I'd tell people, you know what's the matter with you? You don't love God enough. If you loved God more, if you will do what the Word says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all. And I didn't know that I was taking Old Testament law and just hammering them with more burden. This scripture, oh, come on, let's come back to the worship. It says we love him because he first, come on people, when we were yet dead in trespasses and sin, he quickened us, made us alive together, and caused us to be seated in the heavenlies together with him. This is what Ephesians 2 tells us. We love him this morning. Come on, would you lift up hands one more time all over the building? Oh, in this new year, Father, I thank you that a new revelation of your love for us right now, that you open our eyes as with precious Lauren, that we would cease to see each other as much as we see you and see others through you, that we would cease to compare, that we would cease to shrink away, that we would say, Lord, everything you got, I want. The beauty is he, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord, you already got it all. You just don't know it. Ha! But a revelation of who he is. Cast out fear. Father, today one more time over people in this group right here. I thank you that this year coming, I thank you that you give us wisdom to lead and to shine and to love and to let the gifts in us speak words. I spoke to a young guy this last week, Christmas Day, attempted suicide, desperate. Thank God he was not successful. I can't wait to talk to him more and watch what God does. People are so fearful and hopeless. How many are glad that we have hope, which gives way to faith, which gives way to a life that is full of purpose? How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. Father, this morning, right now, by the authority of your word, I arrest. Come on, if you're going to agree with this, come on, some of you need to hear this. I arrest fear. I arrest fear in Jesus' name. I declare over you the word of God, which says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Check it out. Check it out. And love. Right smack in the middle of power and sound mind is found the working element of the power of God. Power, love, and a sound mind. Feel like you're going crazy sometime? Let me tell you something, that's not the will of God. And you can climb up into Daddy's lap and begin to find out more. Hang around here as we open up more and more the love of God. Let me tell you something, the more you receive from Him, the more you see who He is, the more it will affect who you are for others. How many know hurt people, but blessed people? Come on, are you here this morning? Blessed and loved and favor people. Love and bless and favor. I'll be glad for Jesus today. So we arrest fear. Come on, some of you in here, saints, pray. We arrest fear in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for a continued unwrapping and revelation. Every week we come in here, you're going to hear this same prayer as we... Listen, I'm doing it with you. I'm seeing them in new ways that I've never seen before. Jesus, how we love you back. You loved us. And you loved us first. That's why we can love you back. Perfect love, His love for me. How about it, Lori? That'll change your life. So many years we were taught our perfect love for Him is what makes us fearless. It's His perfect love for us that casts out all fear. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. A new year in you, completely different. Father, we thank you for blessing upon blessing. For prospering our homes and our families, for salvation finding its way as we continue to stand in prayer and believe for our loved ones. Father God, we thank you for revelation of Jesus on this young man, Jason, 30 years of age. He thinks he's at the end of his rope, but there is a Savior who says, I give new beginnings, fresh starts, a reason to be alive. Ha! Thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, out of respect for those around you, this is not religious obligation. This is for respect for those around you. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I will not call you up here. I will not call you out by name. I will not embarrass you. I would love to meet with you as we dismiss in worship. Meet with you and pray with you up front after we dismiss, if you'll make your way up here. But right now, I want to know, if you're here this morning and you've never, I mean, what a great way to begin 2019. You've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never opened your heart and life to Him. I hope that in all of this that you've heard this morning, you have heard this. He loves you just like you are, right where you are. He requires nothing of you but to trust His love for you. And if you will simply open up your heart and say, Jesus, I know you are the missing ingredient, the missing piece of my life, and I invite you into my life. I want to live for you. I want to be yours. I want to know things are right between me and you. If that's you this morning, He says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, that you'll be saved. And you can start a new day knowing, not because of what you've done or do, but because of who you have believed in, that from this day forward, you're saved and things are right between you and God. And He will help you live the kind of life that you feel that you should be leaving. He'll help you in that process. If you're here this morning and that's you, and you've never prayed that prayer, I'd love to lead you in that prayer. If that's you, would you lift your hand up high where I can see it? Everybody praying? Nobody looking around? If that's you, thank you. Thank you. Another one. Huh. That's awesome. Anybody else? You can put your hand back down. Both of you can put your hand. Anybody else? Lift your hand up high where I can see it. Father, we thank you today for these young people that have said, I get it. I need you. Father, I thank you that their lives will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just a few more seconds. Lift your hand up high where I can see you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everybody looking up this way, I want everybody to pray this prayer with your eyes wide open, with your head high. Are you here today?
Yeah.
Praying this prayer with me. Would you repeat after me, everybody, and those of you that raise your hand, pray this prayer and mean it from your heart. Your life, get ready. This new walk with Jesus doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle and that you're going to be just instantly perfect. In fact, get ready. But what He does, He puts a new heart in you. And as you let God begin to teach you and listen to His voice, He'll help you through the struggles. He'll help you. He's not embarrassed by that at all. He already knows you and He loves you right there. And He's going to do things in you that you've wanted to do, but you never could. He will help you. Because, how many remember why? Because as He is, so are we. If we've confessed Jesus as our Lord. So together, eyes wide open, head high, would you pray with me together? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that You are the Son of God. I receive Your gift of salvation for me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank You for forgiving me and receiving me today as Your child. I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, that You were raised from the dead. The power to save me and to make me a new creature. I receive Your love today. Thank You for saving me right now and making me new. In Your name I pray. Amen and amen.